This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
O'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We're talking to Rob and Carrington during the break. We got college football on Saturday, man. We got college football on Saturday. We got KU and Fresno State. You, of course, got K-State, Iowa State, the first game of the year out in Ireland. That's going to be quite the scene. That's going to be really cool. That's become like the there's other
we're
like
going to watch that somewhere.
Chick-fil-A kickoff bowl, but like kickoff game, but like now the Dublin this game there has become like the official first game of the year. This is,
I feel like you're kind of obligated if you're watching it in town to go to an Irish pub. Like you should go to Kelly's or something.
I
will be up at 8 a.m. to go to the sports book in Vegas. We're out there. I think the game kicks off at like 9 o'clock Vegas time, doesn't it?
Yes, 2 hours.
When we're talking about K-State, whatever it is on Thursday or Friday, you guys want to do the Irish accent when talking about?
You go right ahead.
Do you want to do yours right ahead?
I think we all should.
Yours did not go great.
We should all contribute, I think, to this one.
You go right ahead. That's your favorite accent to do. I know.
How about this? We can give our predictions in an Irish accent. All three of us.
Just our total win predictions for.
We'll see.
No. I was just saying, if you guys just wanted to predict the K-State Iowa State game, it could be 5 seconds of you giving your prediction, but it has to be in the Irish accent. In dialect.
We'll see.
I can do it. You guys can do it too. We can all embarrass ourselves.
Thing is your thing. That's not my thing. I don't do things that are not my thing. I don't like to just steal other people's bits.
He's saying 5 seconds.
I don't just steal other people's seconds. Bits.
He's offering it up. Yeah. You're not stealing anything.
Yeah.
I still don't. Your Irish needs some work.
A lot of work. Maybe that's what the Duolingo should have been, was the Irish dialect. Maybe.
Instead. People are still had their afternoon ruined by your comment, Cody.
Yeah, jeez.
That was a wild thing to say.
I think it's good to know about.
Have you ever watched a C-section? What a weird thing to say.
I think it's important to know about the human body and the way that it works.
Yeah, I don't watch quadruple bypass surgeries. You know what I mean? Like, I don't watch any surgeries that are not like.
Cody's not pulling.
Do you honestly? You go and you watch videos of surgeries?
Not regularly, but I've seen videos of.
You would actually.
Sure.
It sounds based on what you're saying. You're
medically
suggesting.
Interesting.
You're suggesting that
you watch videos of colonoscopies too.
You're suggesting. You're suggesting that Gold and I do what Kramer and Seinfeld did and go see an actual procedure done there in person.
I think this one's more about the sacrifice. You should know what other people are called.
Just don't have junior mints with it, you know?
I don't know that
for
they do.
For those who know that
I don't
episode.
Know that there's medical theater to go visit anywhere in
That'd
Kansas
be
City.
Very weird.
Very weird. Yeah, agreed.
If just a regular person could be in it, sure. Other doctors, let's go.
I don't think the Irish accent is a terrible idea, by the way. Someone said I'm full of terrible ideas.
So check Cody's internet history. I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned.
My idea of you guys giving Irish accents, doing Irish accents,
it's
is
fine.
Way better than your idea of us watching.
I'll give you that.
Way better than that.
Yeah, I mean, clearly.
You
one clearly.
You can either watch that tonight or you can do an Irish accent on Thursday.
Oof.
Your choice.
Yikes.
Meanwhile, speaking of ideas, baseball's got one. That includes Rob Manfred. Jeff Passan was talking on ESPN earlier today, and then we'll play what Manfred actually had to say. talking about the potential expansion cities that baseball is looking at, and included Nashville, not shocking, is one of the leaders of the clubhouse because people like the city from a visiting standpoint, and also said that Salt Lake City really impressed Major League Baseball with their presentations as well. The reason why this is coming up, the cities for expansion, is if they expand to 32 teams, Rob Manfred's got an idea about what they should do for it.
In my mind, I think if we expand, it provides us with an opportunity to geographically realign. I think we could save a lot of wear and tear on our players in terms of travel. And I think our postseason format would be even more appealing for, you know, entities like ESPN, because you'd be playing up out of the east, out of the west, and that 10 o'clock time slot where we, you know, sometimes get Boston, Anaheim, would be two West Coast teams, and that 10 o'clock slot that's a problem for us sometimes becomes a real opportunity for our West Coast audience. So I think, you know, I think the owners realize that there's demand for Major League Baseball in a lot of great cities, and that we have an opportunity to do something good around that expansion process.
This was during the Little League World Series broadcast last night when they had the Mariners and the Mets play.
Did you see that they clapped hands after?
Yes.
They did the handshake line, Drew, after one of the games for the Little League World Series
really?
Game.
Major League Baseball almost got hurt.
You've been someone that the years, you've admitted, like, obviously been very critical of Rob Manfred. I will say he continues to.
He's been an idea man lately.
Right now, I mean, this has been a 4-year thing at this point now. Yeah. I think really since post-COVID.
He's in his Brett Yormark bag.
He's done some very good things for the sport the last couple of years. I know he's going to retire in 28, I think.
Something like that.
I think that's the expectation. This would be another one of those, I think, home run, pun intended, type of ideas from Rob Manfred if, in fact, they could get the owners on board for it. Yes, it does require two expansion teams as well. But think about potentially a division that could have Kansas City with St. Louis and the Cubs and the White Sox, let's say, for just as an example. That would be awesome. You know, I would hope they wouldn't just go Kansas City, St. Louis, and Houston and Texas. That would be a little bit of a bummer. That'd still be fun, but obviously the Chicago element would be neat.
No, I like the way no other sport right now is taking advantage of the regional aspect of rivalry. And to his point, if you live in Boston or New York or Washington or Baltimore, there's a huge teams in the Eastern time zone. Half the league probably is in the Eastern time zone. Once you start including, isn't Cleveland Eastern time? Atlanta?
I believe so, yep.
So, like, I mean, I'll be honest. If I'm a fan of the Braves, I'm never watching them play. I barely can do it. I'm Midwest. I'm only two time zones away. So
look at the preseason Chiefs game on Friday night. It was 9 o'clock here. It would have been 10 o'clock start if you were the Giants were playing or something.
So
New York Giants,
even though they've reduced the number of games you play against divisional opponents, it still makes up a quarter of your schedule. And if you're doing that, if a quarter of your schedule is in your time zone every time, hell yeah. And regional rivalries where people can drive, fly short flights, do all those things to catch their team, that's going to increase. It's a regional sport. So, like, simply put, Seattle, Giants, Dodgers, Angels, and San Diego in a division, right? Then you put the A's, Diamondbacks, Rockies, let's say a Salt Lake team, one of the Texas teams in a division. Like, there's an easy way to negotiate. Because if it's 32 teams, six divisions, you can't really do six divisions, doesn't divide up equally, right? Somebody would have to have a six-team division. So what you probably do is you do two leagues, or you do four divisions of eight teams, and you put them in regional-based areas, and it's great. Now, if it's only four and you're going to go more divisions, or it's five to six teams, Kansas City's instantly. You get Cardinals, you get Cubs, you get White Sox or Brewers or Twins. Their division itself gets harder. But those are teams' goals that you could understand developing a rivalry with. A Royals-Cubs rivalry.
That'd be fun.
Makes more sense than Royals and maybe Twins did, or maybe, you know, like, it just, some of them, and Cardinals have always been a rivalry because they're in the same state. So, like, regionalizing it makes so much more sense to
me. There'd be intrigue. There'd be more intrigue.
I think do it. If you can get away with it, do it. The real question is, you think Salt Lake and Nashville are good expansion teams? Salt Lake fills an area of the country that just doesn't have any pro teams, essentially.
It's kind of nuts,
just a
though.
Dead they're, zone, they're Idaho,
you say that, though, but the Jazz, they have a hockey team, an NHL team now.
Yeah,
so they're going to have...
But just Utah. It's only them, I'm saying. Every other part. You know, that part of the country, there's not enough population to support it.
Yeah, Wyoming, Montana, and Idaho are not getting professional. For sure, I'm with you there. Heck, Oregon doesn't have one, except for the Trailblazers. So, no, I understand what you're saying. I just think... It was crazy is in this scenario, Salt Lake City, all of a sudden Utah would have three professional teams. That's kind of crazy to think about.
They said Major League Baseball was impressed.
Actually, more than three. Do they still have don't they still have a soccer? Isn't Real Salt Lake still there?
Yes.
If we include them in the grouping, all of a sudden they'd have more pro teams than we have.
We'd have three based on that metric, unless you're counting NWSL as well, but MLS, and they probably have an in. No, wait.
That's the Utah Royals, which are back. But they're back. Yes.
Yes. They do, but they lost them, but now they don't. Whatever.
Yeah.
The point is, and they could have a WNBA team for all I know. I don't know all the markets for that just yet.
Yeah, but
regional-based rivalries make sense. This is, I thought, the biggest mistake college football has made in all of this was the idea that pageantry and rivalry is what drove a sport where you're like, intense thing. So if all of a sudden you tell me the Yankees and Red Sox, but also Yankees and Mets, are in a division together with Philly... And honestly, it might be a good balancing of power. Force all the West Coast teams that spent $8 gajillion to be in a division together. Force all the East Coast teams who spend $8 gajillion to be in a division together. And let us little Midwesterners compete with our normal budgets for a playoff spot for the division. Cubs. Except Chicago, although the White Sox are in Chicago and they don't treat themselves like a big market team. Yeah. The Cubs do, but the White Sox don't.
Yeah, someone was asking on the text line, wouldn't they lose the Royals-Yankees rivalry?
They're not a division now.
No, yeah. You still play everybody. You're not going to only play your division. They still got 162 games are still happening. You're still going to, like the Royals, it just is going to change.
The Giants would be in a division together.
The Royals would still, you would still play everybody. Everybody would still, the interleague crossover or whatever, like that all still would exist. Just the difference is the Royals would play the Cubs, 13 times or whatever it is.
I was going to say, which five do you want for the AL Central? What five would you want? Royals, Cardinals.
Royals, Cardinals.
Cubs,
White Sox.
And do you want Twins, Brewers, or a Texas team?
For competition purposes, maybe the Twins.
I think the Brewers fit.
Brewers just seem like a more fun team.
Oh, the Brewers are more fun, I agree, than the Twins. But if you want to win the division, maybe it...
Someone says you want to force rivalry. Well, the Royals and Cardinals have had a history going back many, many years. So I don't think it's forced.
It enhances it.
It makes it bigger.
If you want to say the Cubs rivalry, the geographic location would be the reasoning for it. Like, also, you think that the Royals, like you said, forced rivalry. Well, what do you think? The Royals in Chicago White Sox are in the AL Central. Like, the Milwaukee Brewers, remember, the Royals had a chance to move to the National League many years ago. They chose not to. It would have, the Brewers, is it a forced rivalry with St. Louis now? No, they're just in there and they're just another counterpart. The Cardinals' rival is the Chicago Cubs and the Kansas City Royals.
Well, it's not big forcing difference. Rivalry, but to your point, Cody, it makes the sport feel like
close, attainable.
More people, I think, because genuinely, I think I'm more likely to watch as a casual baseball fan. If you're a casual baseball fan in, I don't know, Tennessee, let's say, and you know that the Yankees are playing the Red Sox more often than that, maybe I'm more tuned in to watch that game because those teams hate each other. If you're watching the Dodgers play the Padres or the Royals play the Cardinals, like your rivalries help drive sports in a way, especially in sports where people don't want, like giving people a reason to watch things for the more casual fan, like all the Royals fans are going to watch the Royals games no matter what. But knowing that it's a rivalry game ups the ante, I think, for a casual person to tune into baseball more than just something else and not paying much attention to it.
Someone, I think they're correct that if they actually went to 32, we probably wouldn't even be talking about five teams. You'd be asking
four team divisions,
eight of them. Yeah. Eight. So then you're talking about the Royals, Cardinals, you pair them up together. Would you pair them up with the two Chicago teams, or would the Major League Baseball say, okay, we'll go Royals, Cardinals, but then it becomes Astros and Rangers in the same. I know in Kansas City we keep saying that, but would you be worried at all that the MLB would say, no, Cubs, Cardinals is a bigger rivalry. We're gonna pair them up together instead if those were the only two.
I think you'd have to include the Royals, though. If we're talking for driving sake, for proximity,
I agree. It's only 4 hours.
The Royals
have to be included in it,
I think.
Cardinals-Cubs are a bigger rivalry.
Correct.
But being in the division, playing 11 times a year, it will happen.
What I'm saying is, like, there's no scenario where they're not going to break up the Cubs-Cardinals. No.
Would the Royals get left out is what you're saying from that?
Would the Royals get stuck with its Rangers, Astros, Royals, Rockies? You know what I mean? That would suck.
This is where you need Salt Lake.
That would suck if that's the case.
You need Salt Lake because right now on the West Coast time zone, there's Mariners, A's, Giants, Dodgers, Angels, Padres, and then
Diamondbacks are mountain time.
Diamondbacks. Yeah,
right. So like when you're looking at it, you're like,
yeah. Know. No, yeah.
If you add in Salt Lake, that's eight. But then the Rockies are just doing nothing.
See, I wonder if would they just go all the way down I-70 and go Rockies, Royals, Cardinals,
Cubs, Sox,
and then four, only one more.
Oh yeah, you're right. I don't think they'd separate them. The only thing that would be amiss on this is if you killed a couple of the natural rivals, which is Cubs, Cardinals, Yankees, Red Sox. You mentioned earlier Orioles, Nationals, because they're just so close.
Yeah, those two have to be in the same division.
Those are the ones I don't think you'd... Those might be the only three you don't want to get rid of. The Texas teams really screwed this up, because I don't know who to pair them with. I just stick them with the Rays and the Marlins and be like, being your four-team division, we don't care about. Because I can't figure out where to put the Texas teams.
Someone says Minneapolis is close. They don't think we would get Chicago in this scenario. They'd keep Chicago separate.
That might be.
Royals, Cardinals, Minneapolis, the Twins, and then who?
Royals, Rockies. If it ends up being Royals, Rocky, and the two Texas teams, I'm not interested.
I feel like the Brewers,
that sounds horrible.
If it was the Cardinals and Chicago teams, then I think Milwaukee's got to be included with those teams because Milwaukee's like a 45-minute drive from Chicago. It might even be less than that. Mm-hmm. It's like right there.
I don't know. Maybe the Royals
the
odd man out.
Bump into each other.
They get stuck with all these bad. It's still good for baseball, even if the Royals end up getting screwed in this.
Is the only mountain time team the Colorado Rockies? I think that if the Diamondbacks are Pacific, then the Colorado Rockies are the only
Arizona doesn't recognize daylight savings time. It is sometimes in Pacific time zone. It is sometimes in mountain time. During the baseball season, it would be in. I don't remember.
Well, you spring forward, Cody. You spring forward.
Anyways,
so during baseball,
you fall back.
So maybe it's mountain time during the summertime.
Mountain time during a good chunk of the season. It is Pacific time during the end part of the season, which is a mess. Yeah. Damn you, Arizona! Why can't you just follow the normal rules?
Aren't they trying to just eliminate it anyway, or keep it permanent? One of the two.
Yeah, there was some like law. I thought.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like at a federal level. Yeah.
I don't know what ever happened.
Because it would be tough if the Royals were forced to be.
Whatever
in
gives
with
me
the
more daylight, okay?
The
whatever gets me to where it's not dark at 5:13. You know that's what I'm all for. Okay.
It's so hot right now. These last few days, it's untenable to be outside in general. I don't even want to be outside right now. It's too hot.
It was very cool on Saturday in the 8 hours
it's
out of the soccer
match.
It's
supposed to get down to the 70s by the end of the week, I think, right?
Vegas where it's like 110.
Next week's the 70s. This week it'll still be in the 80s. Vegas, we looked at the forecast.
The weekend's nice here.
We fly after the show Wednesday, or during the show kind of Wednesday. We
it's going to be 88 here.
It'll be 110, but a dry heat in Vegas, but a dry heat. In fairness, we're going to be inside. We're going to be inside most of the time, and then... During our show, and
Circus
then
got a lot of cool stuff to do.
Yeah,
I'll just stay there,
inside. And now the stadium swell. I'm still going to go to the pool, but
if you guys have a picture hanging out in the pool, then I
will.
Then
I did a video from the pool last year.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll have a video just for you, Drew. I'll do one of your selfies on Instagram just for you.
Absolutely,
building,
guys.
Is what I'll
absolutely,
say.
You know, yeah. All
right, just getting started. Or what did it say?
Let's begin.
That's what I said.
Let's begin the weekend. Yes, come on.
Are you
going to
do
it?
Are you going to do a daily or a weekly workout selfie?
No, I will not. I will not do any of that.
So that was just a one off.
Yeah, that was just a one off.
Okay.
What's up, guys? I'm in the gym. Like this is fun. I'm excited about
it. Is this fun?
No. This is fun.
Was that the apartment gym that you were at? Or do you belong to a gym now?
No, that is the apartment gym. For right now, that's
good. It's got everything you need.
It's the lane,
sure.
Yeah.
Binkley would like you to know that he has seen a C-section, for what it's worth.
Oh, God. Did he text you?
He just said, I've seen one. That's exactly how he put it, too, by the way. That could have been for one of his kids being born. I don't know. He didn't tell me the circumstances.
I would think so.
I would hope.
Hey, Binkley, could you let us know?
There's no way Bink
is
voluntarily...
If this was just a random viewing or like a...
No.
You know, when your kid was born kind of thing.
No, it has to be.
Sometimes things derail the show in a good way, you know?
So are you guys... hold on a second. Is this thing going to grow legs when Bink joins on Wednesday? Is this actually going to come up?
No, I don't think so. Binkley's going to join us to talk some college football and NFL football on Wednesday at 12:30, which we're looking forward to, obviously, but... I don't think that will be a regular part of the conversation. I do, however, like Rob Manfred's idea to regionally align teams, which are unrelated, but also equally as important. I will say, the more we do this map, the more and more the Royals are getting left out in a weird way. That they're going to be stuck with the Texas teams and the Rockies in what will be the
That'd be
least,
miserable.
That might be the least, like, people in Colorado don't care about their team. The people in Texas barely care about their teams. And now all, and they both have won World Series in the last decade.
Houston's good.
Hell, in fairness, between the Astros, the Rangers, and the Royals, they got like three of the last five World Series trophies, maybe.
Yeah.
Three of the last 10, not five. Three of the last 10 World Series trophies, probably, right? Royals have one a decade ago. Astros have a couple. Rangers have one.
Mm-hmm.
Responsible for a good chunk.
Cardinals don't have anything that matters anytime recently. So,
Cardinals haven't won one since, I don't know, the early 2000s or something. It was like graduating high school.
It's been a bit. Yep. Yankees have waited a while, too. It's nice. Love it.
The Yankees have waited a lot longer than the Cardinals have.
That's right. It's great. It really is. Cubs have won more recently as well. It's awesome.
Almost every team in baseball has won it more recently than the Yankees at this point.
The Tigers have been in the World Series more recently than the Yankees, correct?
Probably.
In it, yes.
Because obviously the Tigers have never won one, or they haven't won one in a very, very, very long time.
Last pennant for the Cardinals was 2013. Last World Series was 2011. So
almost 15 years.
Honestly, it does bring me every time I see, and this is just like general because like I had to hear for my entire life how much better Cardinals fans were. And I had to go to Kauffman Stadium, in which they showed up to Kauffman Stadium and were by far the dominating party in the stands. And it hurt. It hurt as a Royals fan to have to witness that your entire childhood. Every time I see another headline, I saw one this morning that says, Cardinals GM says, we got to win these fan back. Oh, so it turns out that you weren't the best fans in baseball. You were just winning. And winning attracted you to go to the games. And when Royals fans didn't go to the games, it's because they were losing.
Mm.
And like you weren't any different than any other fan base. You attended when your team was good. Like every other fan base of all time. I never blame fans for not going to games when teams are not participating in the winning end. That's, you know.
The Browns might have the best fan base in all sports, just in terms of just
they're loyal.
Going through it and still showing up.
No, they're loyal fans for sure.
I don't know why. What have they given you in return for this? Moved your team once?
The one playoff appearance that they had back in 2000 and whatever it was when Chad Henne won the game. Or was it?
Chad Henne was on the Chiefs against Baker. And they
That was right, it was, yeah. Whatever year that was.
Dan Sorensen, baby.
Dirty Dan. How will you remember him? I think he'll be remembered more fondly as time goes
on. For sure.
They won't remember all the like issues
all the
or
mistakes.
They won't even care about that. You'll remember Dan Sorensen as like a Paul Bunyan character. He'll seem larger than life 15 years from now. You'll just remember him.
A figment of our imagination.
You'll just remember him like technically doing helmet to helmet, but knocking the ball out at the goal line.
It's a big play, man.
And
it's a huge
stopping
play.
Punts. Mm. And you'll just remember all that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
That stuff.
What's trending?
There it is. It is what's trending. Thank you, Drew. It is Cody and Gold, number one on what's trending. Some injury news, unfortunately, for the Chiefs today. The big one, Felix and Udike Uzama, Andy Reid said, is likely to head to the IR with a hamstring strain. We don't know if it's a grade three, which would be months, which sounds like it might be. Could it also be a combination of just where things were at? I think there's a lot in it. I don't know if it's just the injury. Who knows? But not good. Obviously sucks for him. And it's very fair to say now. Like, he was a first-round bust. He's not going to play this year.
He's going to play 3 years, have three total sacks as a guy taken to the end of the first round. We can talk more about it.
Yeah.
It's going to go down probably, if not the one of
him or Speaks
worst picks in Brett Veach's tenure. Now, look, they've continued to go to Super Bowl, so it hasn't affected him.
Sure.
Tough to see that from Felix and Udike Uzama today. Next up on What's Trending, Royals sweep the White Sox, get two games above 500 after their win late yesterday afternoon. Another come from behind. They had one hit through six innings of work. Eventually, Jonathan India with a big two-run blast to tie things up. Then they just keep adding and adding and adding runs. Adam Frazier's been great since he's gotten to Kansas City. They'll take on the Rangers tonight. Four games set at Kauffman Stadium, starting right here on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Some other NFL news, though, going back to that. We learned today from Kevin Stefanski that Joe Flacco, the veteran, will be the week one starter for the Cleveland Browns when they take on Drew's Cincinnati Bengals.
All right.
Joe, with, I mean, if you can't beat Joe Flacco, Anderson.
Over, maybe. You said it. I think your number was a little low when you said four. Over under 7.5 games started for Joe Flacco.
Oh, man, that's tough. I'm going to say under. Actually,
under.
2 months gets us. I said it's got to be cold. Over. It's got to be cold out before over. Gabriel or Sanders. I'll go over. I think Flacco won't be bad enough that they'll just bail after a month.
I don't think the season will be over after that time either.
I'll go over. Yeah, I'll go half the season basically he gets.
Last on what's trending, Trey Hendrickson reportedly will be viewed in some trade conversations outside right now, according to the Cincinnati Bengals, who have made no progress in their trade department so far. That according to multiple reports. They're saying they want a first-round pick and a defensive player back. No, non-quarterback over the age of 30 has been traded for a first-round pick since 1994. So they're probably not going to get that if they actually trade him. I will give a lot of credit to Wolf, who is the general manager over there in New England.
Wolf.
Elliot Wolf just happened to say that they'd be more than willing
the good Wolf
to part from a first or second round pick if it made this year's team better. They're in a win-now thing. I genuinely think what is happening, and Drew agreed with me, so it's probably a good sign, that Cincinnati, because the four teams you've heard in the Bengals possible trade market is four teams who don't feel like they're going anywhere. I think they're threatening to maroon it. Either take less money from us or we're sending you to a team that is irrelevant this year. And that's a really crazy thing to do for one of your all-time great defensive players.
Some would say Cincinnati is irrelevant this year. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold.
There is nobody more excited about this than one Alex Gold. Like
I love the chaos of an inept organization that is Cincinnati. I absolutely do.
When you said that you're loving the missing the playoffs tweet, I could picture you smiling as you typed it out.
I enjoyed seeing the update. I enjoyed seeing the update once again reinforcing that Cincinnati is a terribly run organization. Yes.
I cannot wait until they make the playoffs this year. I think it'll
fine.
Just
be a wild card team. Great. That's congratulations.
Fine, but they're in the dance. That's all
okay,
I care
all
about.
Right, fine. That's the barometer steps, now. That's the barometer steps. For a guy that's 1B to 1A, Patrick Mahomes, and that's fine. If that's the barometer, just get to the playoffs. Okay.
All right. Whose championship window is entire career.
Who has to do more than anybody else, okay, apparently, because yeah, of the inept ownership, yeah, the inept...
Let's start playing the violin again.
Hang on a second. The inept organization and the bad
violin.
Football coach. It must be nice to be the Bills or the Ravens.
And this is why
Chiefs.
I
it
ask you,
nice.
This is why I ask you, when Joe Burrow requests a trade in 5 years, will you be a Joe Burrow fan on the new
no.
team, or will you still be a Cincinnati fan?
Oh, I'll still be a Joe Burrow fan, but if Joe Burrow's on a different team, I will still root for the Cincinnati
okay.
Bengals.
All right.
Saying he has to do more than anyone while thrown to Ja'Marr Chase and T.
Higgins.
I am a poor
guy. He's got the best receiver in football to throw the ball to. Josh Allen, poor guy.
He also has the worst O-line, where Patrick Mahomes at one point had a great O-line, a great head coach, head coach of all time, the greatest tight end of all time, and the best wide receiver of all time, and lost to that
okay.
team.
Now you're making up stuff. Tyreek Hill, the best wide receiver of all time. Nobody's ever said that.
He's one of the 10 best receivers in the NFL
in the game.
At that time.
That was what I meant. And that's what I meant.
And they've never had.
That's what I meant.
This is partially just because you're out of the market, so I'll let this one slide. At no point did Kansas City have the best offensive line of football.
Nope.
They had offensive lines for portions of it. Lately, they've had as bad. Last year's offensive line for the Chiefs was almost as bad as Cincinnati's.
No, it was not. They had two all pros.
Their tackle situation.
Tackle
was.
Situation.
Was,
the left tackle
was.
Situation was
but
not good.
But you also act
close.
Like Orlando Brown Jr. is. You act like Orlando Brown Jr.
Year.
Is pitiful. The Chiefs won a Super Bowl with Orlando Brown Jr. playing left tackle for them. So that's my biggest pushback on your O line point is that literally the Chiefs. The Chiefs had the same left tackle and they won a Super Bowl with him. So this idea Mahomes has had to play with a different offensive line compared to Joe Burrow. They've played with the same player a couple times.
All I'm saying anyway. Is that when we're looking at the excuse making, people should not be letting the Bills get off as much as they are. Or the Ravens get off as much as they are.
It was too
for
much,
the amount of talent
that
they
off,
have,
Drew.
The amount of
too
coaching that they have and the amount of ownership that actually is cohesive and everything like that. Nobody is talking about
them
and it's embarrassing.
You paint Cincinnati like they're the Cleveland Browns, and that's just too far.
The Browns roster, if we're outside of the quarterback room and the wide receiver room.
Oh, those aren't important at all.
Hang on a second. The Browns roster, outside of wide receiver and quarterback, might actually be.
You couldn't even say with a straight face.
Might actually be better.
I don't believe you.
So again,
I'm not going to because I don't even think you believe.
No. The Browns roster.
Okay.
If the Browns had Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, forget T. Higgins, they would have at least. If they would have probably been in the playoffs every single year. If the Browns had Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, if not, they would have been to a Super Bowl already with that defense.
Can I ask how you
and
are?
That O-line.
Can I ask how you are saying this and at the same time keep telling me how their defense is going to get better and they were just missing players?
I think that's...
These two things don't equate.
I'm not saying that the Bengals are going to be top 10. I'm not saying they're going to be top 20 even. But based on last season, they are going to have more experience. They're still young in the secondary, but two of their guys were out for the season last year in the middle of the year with injuries. They added... two linebackers, which they needed to add in the first place. They also added, they can't be worse than what they were last year. They have to be better. I'm not saying
it's
a huge jump.
Well, they were dead last. You were correct.
I know. I'm not saying it's going to
be
33rd. I'm not saying it's going to be a huge jump. I'm not going to say any of that stuff.
Okay.
I'm saying they're going to be better. They should be better. And that might be 26, but you know what? Okay. 26 would have gotten them last year.
Probably.
And the offense still had moments where the offense didn't perform all the way. They would have been in the playoffs with a 26th ranked defense.
Okay. I pulled a couple Cincinnati Bengals cards I need to give you. You can tell I can either burn them or give them to you. You decide, okay? It's like a Von Bell and a couple Burrow ones. You can have them or I'm burning them. You decide.
Uh-huh.
All right,
Do you want them?
Let's talk a little bit about...
Real quick, don't forget we have our red roundtable with Bitchwaltis and Dane and Hughes coming up on Friday, August 29th out at Hollywood Casino. It starts at 6 o'clock in the evening. It's free, open to the public. You have to be 21 or older to enter there at Hollywood Casino, but it's going to be an awesome Q&A with Mitch and Dane in, plus a meet and greet to follow. Hope to see you guys there.
Let's talk a little bit about the Felix Andy DK thing today, because with that injury, if he heads to the IR, and if Andy says... likely to head to the IR. I think it's pretty safe to assume that he will head to the IR sometime in the next 24 to 48 hours. He's going to go down as the worst pick in Brett Veach's career because it was the draft in Kansas City. He was the first round pick, not the 60th pick or whatever Breland Speaks was, and while he will have played a full season more and been on the roster two full seasons more technically, even though he's on IR hypothetically, you just can't take a swing like that at a position you needed that much and miss like that and it not go down as your worst pick. The good news is, and this is where I would give Brett Veach a lot of credit, I can go through every team you think is great at drafting teams. I can go through the Ravens. I can go through the Eagles. And if you'd like, I can go find their misses for you. And I can point out the ones that they didn't get right in the first or the second round. The key is that you don't notice it. Felix got drafted 2 years ago.
I mean,
they won a Super Bowl, went to another, and it won't slow them down this year.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. That's been, you and I, over the years, we've gone back and forth at times and disagree. I mean, there's been other picks you and I have argued about, and I'm like, you can find picks in plenty of other organizations.
We can't be critical and say we don't like these picks.
For sure, but plenty of other organizations have whiffed on picks as well.
Yeah.
This one's really bad. Yeah, I mean, it's a first-round pick. I think we've talked about the circumstances around the pick, and so it'll go on Brett Veach's record, no doubt. I think we also recognize there was a ton of organizational pressure to make said pick for Felix. It also put a ton of pressure on Felix himself, but it's the NFL. Like, it's a results-based business. While I hate to see Felix hurt and Andy Reid saying he's likely headed to the IR, the assessment of his tenure is accurate. He's been a bust. That's just the reality. It's the national. This is the NFL. This is not sugarcoating it. He's not some high school kids. Like, you were paid to perform, and he has not lived up to first round pick expectations. Heck, he hasn't lived up to second or third round pick expectations. He could have been picked in the third round. We'd still be saying, eh.
Yeah, if he was here for the third year,
it wouldn't be viewed as the worst pick in the tenure, but we'd be like, eh.
That pick didn't work out.
It would be in the same realm as like some of these other guys we've talked about over the years. But it's disappointing because if they would have hit on this pick like 70% of it, it could have been a huge asset for them to go with Karlaftis and Chris Jones. And instead, it's why I think they've had to bring back Charles Omenihue. It's why Mike Dana, and this is not a bad thing, but with those players, that's why those guys have had to come back. It's why I think next year there's a chance they could still have to spend a first round pick on a defensive lineman again.
Most years you can get away with that, so it's okay. You'll just need an instant contributor.
Someone says, how do you know they will cut him? Cody's just saying in the fifth year, like next year, I think he'll be in camp. They're not picking up his fifth year option. I agree with you that
he won't be in camp, but
I think he might 50-50. Be in camp. Yeah, I think that he might be in camp next year, but he's not going to be here in year five. I mean, they're not picking up his fifth year option. No. I can tell you that.
I think there's at least a 50% chance we've watched the last snap of Felix. And look, I've said this from the Gold can, I guess, back me up. Since the day they drafted him, I think that part of the problem, not the whole problem, part of the problem is that the Chiefs organization put him in a horrible spot. I think Clark Hunt wanted to make the pick at 31, as in, like, he wanted the team to make the pick, not he personally said, it's Felix or nothing. As in, he wanted the organization to have that organizational moment. Drafting Kansas City, pick at 31, fireworks go off, the moment is pure. Take the local kid, it all feels good. And as a result of that, it put even more pressure on a first-round pick to succeed at 31. It put even more pressure and spotlight on the pick to succeed. And so he was put at a disadvantage, I thought, from day one. He's had now 2 full years to make his standing in the NFL apart from that moment. And so he's had opportunities to show his level of play and the kind of player he can be, and he should do it. It stinks. Honestly, I'm rooting for him to get healthy, find another team, get a fresh start, and hopefully turn himself into a nice NFL player. Happens all the time in the NFL. Sometimes your first stop is not your best stop. And so for him, I hope that that's the case. But yeah, it's weird how much on this show normally for a former first-round pick, like when Clyde Edwards-Helaire was getting hurt in the early part of his career gold, we were talking about how it affected this team. Hey, now they don't have Clyde, what's the running back room going to look like? Because his first year, you might not remember now, but Clyde was a very effective player for them in the offense. He wasn't a superstar, but he was an effective player in their offense. I don't even know what to say.
One play in the Super Bowl and a run play.
They're missing a rotational defensive lineman.
That's basically what it was.
They're missing a rotational defensive lineman. It'd be the same as if they lost Malik Herring. I'm not going to spend the entire show talking about how their defense changes now that, if
it
Malik
doesn't.
Herring
it's, just, it's depth. You would like to have depth, but he was also in danger of not making the team. Some of you don't believe that, but he was in danger of maybe not making the roster. If someone's saying, who could they have got, who would have been better to get at pick 31 that particular year?
Well, don't make me go through the draft. Probably lots of players.
Off the top of my head, yeah, we'll have to go back and look and see who the multiple players were picked, the five guys in front and the five guys behind, and we can narrow it down. I mean, quite honestly, normally we joke you can't just say anybody, but when we're talking about a first-round bust, honestly, anybody.
like any player who's not already cut by their team, I guess. I don't know. Like, and he's not cut, but he's hurt and he hasn't played much. Felix Anudike was taken at 31. The picks after that were, I don't know, Sam LaPorta at 34 had been fine, just for starters. Just before I even get down this list very far.
Who else? Give me another name.
That would have been fine. Joey Porter Jr. was taken the pick after.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Mayer is serviceable. Yeah. He hasn't really been much. How's Derek Hall doing in Seattle, the defensive lineman?
I don't think
lineman?
He's doing anything.
Jonathan Mingo was Binks guy. He hasn't done anything, he and he's been hurt. BJ Ojolari has been a perfectly good NFL player to this point. I mean, you know, look, I mean, even like Jaden Reed or, I don't know, they took Rashee Rice later in that draft. And that's the point. You can miss on that just as long as Rashee Rice is a number one wide receiver on your team and go through all those other ones. And look, some of the guys have been hurt, unfortunately, but like Tank Dell in the third or a million others. I don't want to go through every pick they could make because some of these guys, I'll be honest, they're probably good players. I just don't know who they are because they play nose tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know if Keanu Benton is good. Drew, is he? That was a guy they took after.
Who?
Keanu? Keanu?
I have no idea.
Benton.
From Wisconsin?
I don't. Of course he's from Wisconsin. What are the odds?
Yeah, I just disagree with this text. Like, this was my stance when Cody was critical the first year about Felix, and it was like, hey, he's very young and he needs to develop.
The development part.
And I was definitely saying that on this very show. Someone says history has shown 2 years is not enough time to develop. You're a first round pick, a defensive lineman. You don't get 4 years to develop. Sorry.
He's also losing year three.
You don't get three. Yeah, I say four because this year's gone. Yeah. He's going to be out. So I hear you. They're not a finished product. And for his sake, I hope he comes back post injury better than ever and all that. But when you're a first round pick, you don't get to say it. You got to give me 3 or 4 years to have a real impact on the team. I'm not saying he needed to come out and be a 10 sack guy in the first 2 years.
No, he had 4.5 sacks last year. We'd be talking about
one thing if he had in year one, and then 4.5. Yeah. Or five. Okay. There's some real, real progress, but a first round pick, you can't say I got to give the defensive end 3 or 4 years till he has more than 5 sacks in his career.
That's why you guys said that you were sorry for him because he was put in a position that was almost impossible for him to unless he became that 10 sack guy. It was always going to be a little bit underwhelming just where he was picked, him going to K-State, the local guy, the first round, all of it put together.
I assume if you're in the camp of he hasn't been given enough opportunity, enough time to develop, I'd be honest, I kind of assume you're a K-State fan if that's your stance at this point. Like that you can't see through the lavender colored glasses. And it's not meant to be a knock. It's just his play on the field has been completely unacceptable to this point. Like, he has not come close to living up to the draft position. And, like, Gold, you're right. I had said last year, and you're right, I was on it early, which maybe that was too early, but doesn't matter. Yeah. I was worried about his play, didn't like, but, like.
You didn't like the pick anyway, like, just in
from
general.
The beginning, I didn't like the pick. I didn't think they should make the pick. I didn't think he was, I thought he was too developmental, a million reasons why. But none of that. Yeah. I told you last year, I had stopped thinking about him as the 31st overall pick and instead wanted him to follow a trajectory of Mike Dana, Charles Minihue, and turn into a 4, 5, 6 sack guy, rotational defensive line, impactful, we know the issue. And that would have been fine. I'd have stopped with he was the first round pick, Clark had his moment in the draft stuff because he just became a serviceable player. He didn't hit that level. He didn't get to the serviceable part of the level was the problem. And now the injury is going to set him further back from that to the ability to get there.
Before we get out of here today, I want to talk Royals briefly again. We know they just wrapped up the 9-game stretch. We said at bare minimum they had to go 6-3. Well,
did it?
They went 6-3. A very, very much needed sweep of the White Sox. Obviously, look, I think it's fair to say the boys are playing some ball right now. Is it enough? No, they got a lot of work to do, but they're playing some ball. They're fun to watch. They got a nice little thing going with a couple guys in the lineup. Jonathan India, since he's been moved down in the order, he's come up with some big time hits, including the home run yesterday at the time, I think, to tie the game or whatever it was, a two run home run yesterday to tie the game.
India's was a two.
Yeah, to tie the game up at two apiece. And they now set themselves up where here we are on August 18th, and we're still talking about them having a chance. So now they enter another 7-game stretch, games against the Rangers starting tonight, and then the Tigers. Okay, bare minimum, 4-3. That has to be bare minimum. You cannot have losing stretches. That's just, you're still, unfortunately, 3.5, 4 games back. You have leapfrogged the Rangers.
Yep.
So now it's a great opportunity. If you win this series against Texas, you can, I don't want to say bury them, but you certainly can distance yourself.
They've got 13 games for the rest of the month. Then it's September. They got 13 games. They need to go 8-5. I'll set a new standard and a new number, and we'll get inside there. Speaking of local kids, by the way, did you see? I missed it earlier. Ben Kuderna is going to pitch in AAA. Got promoted to AAA.
Okay.
So sets another local kid moving good. Up. That does set up for next year as a potential start, but he got a promotion today. So congrats to him. Carter Jensen, obviously, he's been raking in AAA outside of it. But yeah, I just, with the Royals, 8-5 in the next 13. Get to September 1st, three more games. That would put you 5 games above 500. We all agree they got to be like 10 games above 500. 5 games above 500 in a month is not outside the lines of capabilities for the Royals. They're playing good baseball. They're playing consistent baseball. 8-5 in the next 13, including the series starting tonight against Texas.
Yeah. Text line.
What'd they say?
Doesn't make any sense on this text. Geno Smith got 7 years. Felix needs more time. Okay. Also, he went to a different franchise. So, yes, nobody's saying Felix can never play football in his life.
He went to multiple different franchises.
Went to multiple. Also, much like we always do, is like Tom Brady was also a seventh-round pick. Yes, so you gave me the most outlier of all outliers in Geno Smith over the last 30 years.
They mentioned Baker, too, who also went to multiple organizations. Baker Mayfield might have legitimately saved his career by showing up on 24 hours notice,
playing for the Rams.
And making a 95 or 8 or whatever it was yard touchdown drive to win them a football game on a Thursday night. He might have single-handedly saved his career because he got on a plane, showed up and balled out for an afternoon.
By the way, Geno Smith, no matter how great he's turned it around, Geno Smith was still a bust. Sorry.
Oh, for the team who drafted him.
Still a bust. Baker Mayfield still ended up being a bust. I'll blame Cleveland more than anything, but still a bust for that franchise. So for the Chiefs, Felix Anudike Uzomah is a bust. I hope we're talking 5 years from now. Somewhere else in the league, we're talking about Felix being a 7.5 sack guy. That'd be awesome. Be great for him. But as far as the Chiefs are concerned, he's a bust. Sorry.
Yeah, Geno Smith is on his fifth team, and that's fine. And he can be a good NFL player, make a lot of money, and help some teams win some football games. But maybe Felix can do that later. But it's probably not going to be for this team. No.
That's going to do it for us on a Monday. Hope everybody's had a good day. We're back at it tomorrow. On a Tuesday, Danan Hughes, Chiefs color commentator, going to join us. It's been a while since we talked to Danan. He obviously has been the last couple preseason games, part of the broadcast. We'll get his perspective on the wide receiver room.
Plus, he's be at the round table here in a couple of weeks.
That's right. Him and Mitch Holthus doing that. So we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. The Drive is up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit SmileGeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.